Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Mekhi Becton, ladies and gentlemen, human beings that large should not run as fast as Mekhi Becton did. And if you like people just abusing other humans, the Mekhi Becton tape is for you.
Wilson going to the air. Chased out by Daquan Jones. Wilson looking end zone wide open. Touchdown! First NFL touchdown for Zach Wilson. And it goes to Corey Davis. Crowder trying to get him out of space. Slips a tackle. And there he goes. Crowder. It's a foot race. And Crowder is in there. A 69-yard touchdown.
Hill hit immediately. He got the handoff.
You know that's
the Q-inator.
Oh, my gosh.
Listen, thank you.
From the PlayLikeAJet.com digital studio, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it is time to get to know your foe, Philadelphia Eagles edition. So for that, we bring in a return guest, senior producer over at NBC Sports Philadelphia, writer for NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com, and he also is president of the Ben Simmons Fan Club, which we'll talk about a little bit later, Dan Booney Roach. What's up, Dan?
Scott, how are you? Yes, I just got a new set of holiday sweaters for the Ben Simmons fan club for everybody who wants to stop by the gift shop after the show.
We'll talk about that a little bit later, just because Dan was way ahead of the curve on Ben Simmons, and we'll get into that a little bit more just because I think it's funny. But let's talk a little bit about the Eagles here, Dan. The first thing I want to ask you is, you and I talk quite a bit, and the last time we spoke and I asked about Nick Sirianni, I said, how do you feel about him? And you said, not great. Has that changed at all for you?
Very little, very little. I mean, he's doing his best with what he has. I think it's with more time to watch him coach the team, et cetera, it's tough. You kind of have to give him an incomplete because he wasn't really given a complete team, and he's an offensive minded guy, and he doesn't, they didn't exactly give him like a full cadre of weapons as far as the passing game, especially for a guy who loves to pass as much as he did. But now, to his credit, he adjusted. They run the heck out of the ball. They do it really, really well for the most part. The Giants game notwithstanding, they did well. But, I think the league is, it's a league of adjustments. People starting to figure things out. And the Giants pretty much put it out there that, if Jalen Hurts can't find Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert wide open, then off he goes. But the short answer is, I guess, I give him an incomplete, but I give him credit to the effect that he's doing pretty well considering the outfit that he's inherited.
What about the aforementioned Jalen Hurts? How do you feel about his performance this year, and what do you think about him going forward?
Well, it's kind of like what I said a moment ago. If he doesn't find his first read or his second read, he's very impatient in the pocket. I think that's his biggest, the biggest negative. Now he makes up for it because he can make things happen without throwing the ball, which is great. It's a wonderful weapon to have. But at the same time, you want to keep defenses honest and, keep them guessing. That's the goal of any offense, is to keep the defense guessing. And he's become predictable in his unpredictability, if that makes sense, where he's kind of like a one read quarterback, two read max. And if he doesn't find what he's looking for, then he's off. Even when he has a, sparkling clean pocket to work from, which he does a lot, that offensive line is the strength of the team. He's still, that clock in his head goes off very, very quickly, and he's off, which is dangerous.
So as far as, is he the guy going forward? I'm not ready to say yes or no. I think the last month of the season will be very telling in that regard, because now these games will mean more. They could mean the difference, obviously, making the playoffs or not. They're very much in the playoff hunt. I think they're a half a game out of the final seed as far as the wild card goes. And they have a pretty good schedule to work from. So we shall see. I'm the jury is out, in my opinion, on Jalen Hurts.
Dan, you talked about Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert, and as far as the passing game goes, those are the two weapons, pretty much all he's been working with. Those are the guys that have been producing. And they've had a pretty effective running game. Miles Sanders, Boston Scott, Jordan Howard, Kenny Gainwell, all of those guys getting in there a little bit, and all have been pretty effective to varying degrees. Jordan Howard, Boston Scott, Miles Sanders, very efficient. Looking at what Philly does well, would you say that the best strategy here for the Jets would be to put a spy in there to keep Jalen Hurts in the pocket where, as you said, he gets impatient, force him into potentially bad decisions, especially if he can't find Goddard or Smith, stuff the box, and force him to beat you in some other manner?
I would say yes, definitely. I would stack the box and force, you know, one of the guys in the Giants, and you know, Eagles fans weren't particularly happy with this, but one of the Giants defensive backs said after the game, we wanted Jalen Hurts to beat us with his arm, which, you know, choosing between that or getting the ball crammed down your throat 40 to 50 times with a running game that's been working. Yeah, I'm going to take the lesser of two evils there. You know, Jalen Hurts has not, you know, acquitted himself as a top tier passer by any stretch of the imagination. Now, as far as a spy, I don't know about a spy. A guy used to be the legendary defensive coordinator for the Eagles, Jim Johnson, back when the Eagles defense was ridiculously good in the 90s and in the 2000s. He employed what they call, with mobile quarterbacks, what's called a mush rush, which is basically, you know, you come in and collapse the pocket, but stay in your lanes. Don't leave an escape. So, you know, the pocket closes in, but everybody just kind of like stays on a linear path to the quarterback. And it's kind of like, you know, meet in the middle rather than going rogue and trying to go like all the way up the field, like an edge rusher would. And then you leave a side out for whatever quarterback to just kind of slip out left or slip out right and then make something happen. So I wouldn't go so far as to spy, but I've definitely put 7-8 in the box and, you know, force him to throw the ball over you.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Let's talk about a parallel universe where Jalen Hurts doesn't play, because even though you and I spoke before we started recording and you said you believe that Hurts will play, his status is currently, as we record this, up in the air. So it's possible we could see Gardner Minshew. How different is this offense if it's Minshew at quarterback? And what do you think he'll be looking to do rather than what you said Hurts will be doing?
Well, I definitely think it will be more traditional, as you know, old school, I guess, rather than you know, Gardner Minshew's hardly the mobile quarterback that Jalen Hurts is. So you'll probably see him remain in the pocket, you know, go through his progressions, whatever, maybe even find a third read if he's got time to do so. So I don't know. I mean, you know, it's funny. Backup quarterbacks are among the most popular athletes. I don't know how it is with Jets fans, but Eagles fans, the backup quarterback is the most popular player on the team, because it's like, you know, a mystery box. Like, you know, we haven't seen him screw up, so he must be good. So let's, you know, this quarterback, you know, lost two games in a row. Why don't we take a look and see what that number two is bringing to the table? Even though that number two was, you know, 1-7 with the Jaguars in his last go round as a starter, and, you know, was acquired for like a 20th round pick from, you know, pretty much picked up off the scrap heap. But yeah, so I don't think he'll do terrible. I also don't think he'll throw for 360 yards either.
Let's talk offensive line, because you mentioned before that they're the strength of the offense for the Philadelphia Eagles. The Jets' biggest strength on defense is their defensive line, particularly their interior pass rush. John Franklin Myers and Quinnen Williams have combined for 12 sacks so far this season. Both are on pace to have double digits. It would be the first time that any player on the Jets defense had had double-digit sacks since 2015. This should be a really interesting matchup. Talk me through this from the Philadelphia side of things. How do you think the offensive line will approach this, and how do you like the matchup as far as whether or not it favors Philly or the Jets?
I don't know. This is probably one of the toughest, aside from maybe Tampa Bay, one of the toughest assignments for the offensive line this season. Obviously, Tampa Bay's run defense is ridiculous. New Orleans' run defense got completely exposed against the Eagles. And, you know, I'm not really sure how that, you know, how they had such wonderful run stats and then get gashed for 200-plus yards to the point where, it was comical after a certain point. But it's going to be tough for them. I mean, Jason Kelce, they might sit him out for a practice or two this week. He left the game for a chunk of it this past Sunday with a knee injury. He fought his way back in. He played well. Unfortunately, when he was out, his backup, Nate Herbig, cost the Eagles dearly, cost them a touchdown and a 20-plus yard run by Jalen Hurts, both with holding calls by him. So it's always good to have Jason Kelce in there. And when he's not, then you get what you get. But this is going to be tough. I really think the Eagles offensive line is the strength of the team by far, but they'll have their hands full with the middle of that Jets defensive front.
Speaking of defensive fronts, let's talk about Philly's defensive front. You've got all-reliable Fletcher Cox, who isn't quite what he used to be, but still he's Fletcher Cox. But more importantly, you've got an emerging force in Javon Hargrave. Very few players in the NFL this year on the interior defensive line have been better than Quinnen Williams. You can make a case that Javon Hargrave has been one of them. Tell me a little bit about this combination with Hargrave and Fletcher Cox.
Fletcher Cox didn't have a great start to the season. It's true. The numbers weren't there, but if you watch the film, he's obviously a difference maker just as far as like, if he takes on two guys, well, then somebody's going to make a play. And that player early on in the season was Hargrave. And he absolutely ate against teams earlier in the season when they singled him up because they doubled Fletcher Cox on every play. And like I said, people were saying, well, you know, Fletcher Cox doesn't have, he had like one tackle this week or two tackles that week, but he's making a difference without touching a ball carrier. Hargrave, like I said, early in the season, he really, really played well. He's kind of leveled off of late. He hasn't been blowing up offenses like he was in the first 5-6 weeks of the season. Whereas Fletcher Cox is actually coming on a good bit stronger. He seems to have been like picking up his play as the season's gone on. And it's pretty remarkable to see. He had a number of big plays this past week against the Giants. He's at least a tackle for loss a week, if not a couple anymore. So he's really coming into his own. I don't know if it was injury related, but he's coming forward. And like I said, Hargrave has kind of leveled off a little bit. But, he's always somebody you got to worry about.
I know Philly has had a lot of problems in the secondary over the last couple of years. They did get Darius Slay, so he's helped a lot. Have those problems persisted, or has that secondary unit been better this year?
The secondary has certainly been better this year. Darius Slay is as good as they come. I mean, he's got three touchdowns this year, two on pick sixes, one on a fumble return. That was in a span of 4 weeks. I think the record for the franchise is four defensive scores by a single player, and that was Eric Allen back in the day. I think one of them was against the Jets, as a matter of fact, if memory serves, that particular season. But the secondary has improved compared to what we're used to seeing in Philadelphia from the secondary, which is, near disaster on a good week. It's been much better. Darius Slay has completely eliminated one side of the field, essentially. I think his quarterback rating against
over the last month is zero, which if you factor that in, if the quarterback threw every pass into the stands, by rule, the quarterback rating is just under 40. So he's picking off passes. He's and the catches that they are making, if they're making them, they're less than 10 yards, and they're and virtually no yards after the catch. The safeties are a mixed bag. Ronnie McLeod and Marcus Epps has stood in at safety. Anthony Wilson, he's been pretty solid. Avante Maddox has come on as a slot corner, and he's a hit and miss kind of a guy. He's actually really good in run support, which is surprising considering he's a pretty little, he's very smallish for a corner, even for a corner standards at 5'9", but he can give you a couple of plays a week. But the secondary compared to what Eagles fans have been used to seeing is a lot better than it's been. The people looked a little side-eyed that Darius Slay signing as a big money free agency signing, but he's absolutely worth it and then some the way that he's played.
The Jets running game has been sort of inconsistent this year, and their best running back, Michael Carter, is hurt, but they did have a lot of success against the Texans with a running back by committee approach last week. And then you got Zach Wilson, who has been up and down, to say the least, really struggled as a rookie. How have the Eagles done against both the run and the pass, and how do you expect them to approach what the Jets have coming up on Sunday?
Well, I mean, we just mentioned the secondary, and like I said, aside from Slay, you kind of, you know, it's the box of chocolates. You don't know what you're going to get from the rest of the guys in that secondary from week to week. You know, Jonathan Gannon, the defensive coordinator, really, really played it vanilla the first 8-9 weeks of the season and drew a lot of ire from Eagles fans. They played a straight cover two zone, virtually no press man, virtually no man, which, you know, allowed teams to just pretty much, you know, 8, 9, 10 yards, throw the ball, and the defensive backs are just, well, we'll just keep it in front of us. Well, all of a sudden, 5 plays later, you're in the red zone, and there's no, you know, there's no more keep it in front of us. They're about to score. So I think there were one or two games where Eagles opponents did not even punt, which is never good. So, like I said, mixed bag in the secondary. The run defense has been pretty strong. Another blind spot for the front office has been at linebacker, where they just kind of, I don't know. Let's see. The last time they drafted a linebacker in the first round was 1979. I'll put it that way. They hardly ever use a lot of assets on the linebacking crew. The last one worth talking about was Nigel Bradham, played for the Super Bowl team. And since then, it's really been chewing gum and chicken wire with the linebackers. But their run defense has been fairly strong thanks to the defensive line and the play of TJ Edwards, actually, who couldn't find the field early in the season, but has really started to fit in well in Jonathan Gannon's system. They're not asking him to cover a whole lot. So he's just kind of been on the run fit angle, and he's done great. He's done really, really well, and he's a really good sideline to sideline guy. And linebackers need to be short tacklers, and he definitely is one.
Based on everything we've talked about, 3-part question. First part is, what would you do if you were the Jets and you were trying to attack the Eagles? Second part is, what do you expect the Eagles to do against the Jets? Third part is, what is your prediction for how this turns out? You don't have to give me an exact score, but a range of prediction.
If I'm the Jets on offense attacking the Eagles, I'm definitely throwing more than I'm running. You do have to mix in the run, because the Eagles can be susceptible to the run at times, not always, but at times. But you would do yourself better by throwing the ball than running the ball. Not at Darius Slay, mind you, but there's certainly plenty of opportunities to throw at other spots on the field. Getting your tight end involved never ever hurts against the Eagles, because as I mentioned, the safeties and linebackers aren't the best and the brightest when it comes to pass coverage. I expect the Eagles to go right back to the well as far as the running attack. You know, Miles Sanders, before he left the game this past week, was strong. He had about a 25-26 yard run. I think he had 9 carries for 64 yards, so he was well on his way there. Boston Scott, his backup, got another 64 yards, I think, on 15-16 carries. So they can continue to get theirs, but we'll see how much the Jets will allow the Eagles to do that. As far as a score, I'm anticipating another low scoring game. I would probably say Eagles 17-13. I really think it's going to be a close, low scoring game with two offenses that right now are struggling to score against two defenses that have seemed to have figured it out.
Dan, before you go, I have to bring up Ben Simmons. You and I have known each other for about 2.5 years. We talk a lot, and you were way ahead of the curve on Ben Simmons. I didn't realize how much you truly dislike Ben Simmons' play until one day I teed you up and you just went off on a rant for about 20 minutes. And I got to be honest with you, it's one of the most entertaining things on the planet listening to you talk about Ben Simmons. So I got to ask you right now, can you please explain why you have such a deep dismay for Ben Simmons' style of play and why you would personally drive him to the airport and pay for his in-flight meal if the Sixers could get a decent deal for him?
I'll begin by sharing an old adage that my grandmother shared with me when she talked about somebody who was uniquely talented. She would say about this person, all the fairies were there, which means when you were born, all the fairies were there, and they gave you all of the gifts. So when Ben Simmons was born, all of the fairies were there. Now, we don't know why he chooses not to shoot the ball beyond 5-6 feet from the basket, or at all, if you watch the series against the Hawks, where he played 55 minutes in the fourth quarter of 7 games and shot the ball 3 times total. But you can't have that kind of a person in an offense in an NBA postseason. You just can't. I don't care how uniquely talented he is as a defensive player, and he is. He's one of the best on this planet or any other. I don't know any other planets that have basketball players, but he is one of the best they ever made as far as on the ball defense. And he is as good as he is on defense. He's worse as an offensive player. Like, you can give me $30 million. I can dribble the ball up across half court and do one of those dribble handoffs and go hide in the dunker spot. I'll do it. I'll do it better than anybody's ever done it for $30 million. I'll put some flair on it. But they pay this guy to win, and he cannot help you win as he is currently constructed. And now he pulls this whole deal with I'm not coming back. I can't play with Joel Embiid, as the reports come out. I need an offense that's built around me. I can't wait to see an offense that's built around Ben Simmons. I kid you not. I will get season tickets to an offense that's built around Ben Simmons just for the comedy factor. You saw it. I don't know. For some reason, I saw it coming down Broad Street with both doors open. Everybody wanted to say, well, look at what he does. I said, well, yeah, look at what he doesn't do. And the last time I checked, the way that they determine the winner of every basketball game that's ever happened is who scores more points. If you don't help me score more points, there's the door. And I don't know what Daryl Morey thinks he's going to get by sitting here and waiting for some sweetheart offer from another team. But I would be beyond shocked if he gets in a one-for-one deal that the Sixers get anything that is a quote-unquote difference maker, as Daryl Morey calls Ben Simmons, because I don't see it happening unless another team has a player that pulls some kind of horrific power play like he's trying to pull on the Sixers. And maybe it is mental, and if it is mental, I wish him all the luck in the world getting it taken care of. I know that's no joke. Mental health is a real problem. and it's real. It doesn't matter how much money you make or how good looking you are or what your status is in life. It's a real thing. But he wanted out and they want to oblige him. And I don't think that they're going to get more than 40 cents on the dollar for him.
Dan Booney Roach, senior producer over at NBC Sports Philadelphia and writer for NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com. Thanks so much for coming on and breaking down the Philadelphia Eagles with me and, of course, sharing your world-famous Ben Simmons take, too. Really appreciate it. For those that want to check out your work and follow you on social media, how can they do that?
Well, on Twitter, I am Roaches, R-O-C-H-E-S, the letter R, winners, because roaches are winners. That's pretty much it. You can hop on NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com and check out anything that I'm writing or the wonderfully and uniquely talented co-workers and writers that they have for all four of the Philadelphia teams if you're so interested. And that's pretty much it. Scott, thank you so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely, Dan. Pleasure was all mine. Check out everything Dan's doing at NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com and follow him on Twitter at RoachesRWinners. Also, make sure that you check out everything that we're doing at PlayLikeAJet.com and the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel. We've got brand new videos up there right now, a 12-minute review of Zach Wilson's return to the lineup against the Houston Texans, courtesy of the Thunder from Down Under, Luke Grant. Make sure you watch that and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. Check out our store at teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. We've got the John Franklin Myers, Quinnen Williams, Bless You, Thank You shirt, the Zach Says Go Long shirt, the Zach the Ripper shirt, the Play Like a Jet logo shirt, and much more. It's all there at the Play Like a Jet store at teepublic.com, teepublic.com. And give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, it'd be quite great. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and PlayLikeAJet.com.